all over. This is what we do. So we travel the country and we preach the gospel all over America. We go to events. We go to outside religious places, outside, not inside. And then we go out in the street like this. We had some great conversations today with lots of people, young people. And yeah, so we just, the world is caught up in false religion. The Sunday church systems are not of God. And then they're caught up in that young guy. Now we're talking about false science, secularism, feminism, perversion, corruption, materialism. The world is caught up. There's two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and Christ. That's biblical spirit and truth. And then there's the kingdom of Satan. So you're either in one or the other. Yeah, there's no middle ground. You know, you're either in one or the other. So that's our job, to go out as prophets. I'm not a prophet, but we do a prophets-like job, to go out and call people to repentance. Thank you, honey. Call them to come out of the world, to seek Christ in spirit and truth, and to forsake this life, which means you're going to lose most of your family, friends, your church family, your pastor. You're going to lose all that to serve Christ via the gospel.
Yeah, especially in today's society. They reject the truth of God no matter where you go.
Amen, amen. Do you belong to a body or under?
Nope.
What do you do?
Me and my wife and my boys promised to do homestead church.
Oh, you do home?
Yeah.
Home fellowship?
I was telling her a while ago, we don't have a church right here. We agree.
Well, good. Yeah, so. I agree. If you can't find one, don't compromise for one. Yeah. It's either got to be wanting the truth or it's got to be in the truth. And I don't know, my wife probably told you, I don't know one all over the country that's in the full truth or wants the full truth. Both of them want what keeps people coming. They want the pagan holidays. They want the feminization.
Well, the majority of them now are money bags.
They're
money people.
They're mammon takers.
Yeah, they want money.
Money changers.
The rest of them have a kind of spirituality, but they don't want to understand or accept the full gospel of God.
Yeah.
I've been to every church within probably 15 to 20 miles of all those cities.
Do you know of a guy that's in a house church around here by the name of Kerrigan Skelly?
No.
Oh. You don't know about him, huh? Stay away from him. He has a house church. Is Kerrigan in LaGrange or outside LaGrange?
He's outside.
He's outside like 20 miles, 10 miles or something. But he's a street preacher. He's preached here before. And he does go out and street preach, and he does teach. I'll give him that. But he's got a lot of false theology. I have a testing of him because I preach the gospel. We make biblical disciples, and then, of course, I have to expose false religion because it's deceiving people. He's one of those false guys. He's one of these guys that sees into selling the things of God, and he's got a lot of false theology. So I'm glad you don't know about him.
Yeah, I haven't run across.
Yeah. I think he's only been around here for 3 or 4 years or something, maybe.
Something like that.
Yeah, he was from Kentucky.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I ain't made it, so I guess I've been blessed in that manner.
Yeah, that is good. That is good. So did you get a gospel card?
No, she's someone, but I've got your website.
Oh, yeah, you should check it out. Test yourself to the gospel. There's a 10-point test on there. We encourage people to go a lot deeper, because when we were in the evangelical world and we were in the culture, we started reading God's word and we couldn't believe how much we were missing. I mean, God's word transformed how you act, talk, live, how you dress, how you spend your money, who you associate with. God's word transforms everything. And I always like to tell people, God's standard is way up here. I got my hand way up in the air. It's way up here. And most everybody, including the churches, their standard is way in the gutter. Now, Christ is the perfect standard. We need his perfect righteousness. I get it. I ruined mine. You ruined yours. I know it. But because he lives in us, if we're born again by the gospel, his shed blood and his resurrection and our repentance to him, and we're born from above, if he's living in us with the fruit of holiness and obedience, he's going to raise us up. Right. Everybody thinks Jesus did away with the law. He actually raised it up. In the Old Testament,
well,
if you slept... he said he fulfilled it. Yeah, but in the Old Testament, if you slept with a woman that wasn't your wife, you were stoned to death. In the New Testament, he said, if you just think about it.
Yep.
Now, the punishment wasn't there. There is grace until that time of judgment, but he definitely lifted the law. He didn't lower it down. And the culture and the church system has corrupted it to easy believism. Just say you believe in Jesus. Just say a prayer, get water dipped, and that's just not true.
That's what I was complaining to her earlier. A lot of the churches I grew up in were Baptist churches, and that whole sinner's prayer was huge.
Yeah, and soul winning.
Roman Road.
And they go out soul winning where they just invite you to church, basically.
Yeah.
You know.
So, but there's really no truth in the church today. The church today's been ruined.
Yeah.
Even back in the older days, when I was coming up, you know, it was modalism. It was taught by a model, and the church had lived and ran off that model.
Yeah.
So it's not a pastor teaching church anymore. You know, mm-hmm. Getting away from that.
You know what's happening in America? A lot of you got your Roman Catholic churches, which is a cult. Then you got your evangelical churches, your non-denoms. You got your Mormons, your Jehovah's Witnesses. They're a cult. But then you've got these evangelical churches and the Baptist churches, and they're being infiltrated by, you know what the New Apostolic Reformation is?
Mm-hmm.
They're being infiltrated by that.
Yep.
They're being infiltrated by these people that are focusing on deliverance ministry. Satan's real, and demon-dwelling people is real, but they are being swept away. There's a lot of movies out now. And it's what it is it's bringing people to the place where they're giving credence, more credence to Satan than they need to, and they're defaming God's word. They're not doing what Jesus said. Go preach the gospel, make biblical disciples, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded. Most of them are just doing church. They're selling books. They're selling programs. There's a pastor down in Tennessee that's got this movie out now, Come Out in Jesus' Name, and he's doing all this deliverance and all this stuff. Deliverance today... The way they're doing it is not biblical. They're telling you that Christians can have demons. That is not what the Bible teaches. And they're making money off of all of this. And so judgment day is coming for all this.
If you allow demons to spend your life, then you've lost the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit can't divide.
Now, they can affect you. They can tempt you.
But they can't indwell you.
They can't indwell you. No, and they're lying.
If they're doing that, then you've had to reject the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
If you reject the Holy Spirit, then you're a fallen creature.
Yeah. Yeah, so they're lying to people. So yeah, there's a lot of, Jesus warned the last days would be full of massive deception. False teachers. And he said
the days of Sodom and Gomorrah as well.
We're
there.
Yeah. He said they'll be saying that that I am the Christ. And I always take that two ways. I always take that as men will rise up and say, I'm Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And then men will rise up and say, Jesus is Christ, and they still deceive. And I think there's a lot of people today that are saying Jesus is the Christ, but they're deceiving people, like teaching false doctrine.
People today have Jesus Christ, but they like to keep him on the shelf, pull him down and dust him off when they need him.
Yeah.
Put him back up. I kind of like that good cloth or that good rag you used to clean the house with.
Yeah,
that's
Jesus.
That's what they're using for today.
Yeah, Jesus.
He's a cleaning rag.
Yeah, he's a get out of hell card.
Yeah,
he's, I got him. Yeah, you know, we street preach at events, and all these Christians, so-called Christians, tell me, we got him. And it's like they got a ready the cross.
Yeah.
I got him. I'm like, that metal cross isn't going to save you.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm not going to save you. That's a relic. The Roman Catholics made that into a relic. That's not going to save you.
I don't wear stuff like that because the Bible says we're not supposed to have any images.
We're not supposed to adorn. We're not supposed to be hanging our temple with that kind of stuff, right?
We're sitting there adorning that cross. Going, oh, I got Christ. We're using that as our face in that cross running around our neck, not as the cross of Christ.
Yeah. And you know what the crazy thing is? He didn't even die on a cross.
Really? It was actually a tree.
The word cross is storos. It means a tree. When they pulled him up with the cross beam, it made the shape of a cross, and the Catholics turned it into a relic symbol. But, you know, what if they would have shot him? Would everybody have a rifle around their neck?
Well, I think one verse actually calls it a beam.
The Greek word is storos, and that means a tree. And you know why? I was just witnessing that young man. Do you know why it's so important? People say, oh, you're picking at gnats. No, it's very important that Jesus died on a stake, a tree. Do you know why?
No, tell me why.
The Bible says in Galatians, and it also says in the Old Testament, that cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree.
Okay,
he was cursed for us. And so if you tell me he's on a Roman cross, that's not a tree. He wasn't cursed. He's cursed. He was hung on a stake. He was hung on a tree. It made the shape of a cross.
Right.
And the cross was venerated because Constantine, who was a Roman pagan, said he saw clouds in the sky in the shape of a cross, and he won a victory. And the Roman Catholics turned it into a symbol. What do they got? They got emaciated Jesus hanging on it. So the cross is just, it's nothing. Christ is everything. The cross is just...
And that's my thing.
It's mysticism.
The cross itself, the only thing about that stands is because Christ died there and gave his life to us.
Yeah, when I say the cross is nothing, I mean the actual device is nothing. It's him. It's his blood. It's his resurrection. It's the person. It's the Savior. And people turn it into a metal thing. Bumper stickers, T-shirts, hats. Oh, I'm a Christian because I wear it. I get it all the time. Look at, I got a T-shirt. I'm like, sir, it takes a lot more to serve Jesus than a T-shirt. They're like, what?
It's in your heart.
Yeah, I mean, if it's in your heart, it's going to flow out of you, out of the rest of your body, right? Out of the rest of your life. It's going to flow out of you, and you're going to obey God in spirit and truth. You're not going to keep the culture's ways. You're not going to keep... Here you go. Easter's coming up.
Yeah.
Have you studied Easter? Yeah. Easter, Resurrection Sunday, Good Friday. These are lies.
Yeah, it's all Roman Catholic.
Yeah, it's Roman Catholic. Jesus didn't die on a Friday. He didn't rise on Sunday. Sunday's not even the Lord's day. That's another lie.
Right.
Isn't that the Lord's day?
Well,
Every day is the Lord's.
I think a lot of people who actually believe the Bible and actually read it realize that we're not given any certain day. We're supposed to live Christ every day.
Amen.
We can pick a day to
rest. Amen. Yeah. Saturday was the old Sabbath, but now Christ is our Sabbath rest. Yep, we're resting in Him every single day. Amen.
As far as if we want to pick a day of rest outside, no work, no labor, like the old days, he said we're not going to be joyous in that. We can pick any day.
You can do that.
I still do the Sunday because that's just
Sabbath. Yeah, that's fine. Nothing wrong with that. As long as you don't teach it's the Sabbath and that, you know, you get a lot of people.
Christ fulfilled the Sabbath, so there's no more Sabbath for us.
Yeah, you get a lot of people teaching the Torah Roots movement, Hebrew. Yeah, I don't know if you know about Hebrew Roots.
Yeah, okay.
They're teaching. You got to. I mean, I wear what I think God teaches us to wear, but they're wearing tassels. They're not eating pork. They're keeping the Friday to Saturday, and they actually teach that you got to keep Torah today, and that's not true.
Yeah, that's not true. And the thing on the pork issue, my problem is didn't he say on the sheep, the bottom of heaven, don't call anything like that?
Yeah, they twist that. They twist that, and they say, oh, but God told Peter, don't say that the people are unclean. Well, he was using the food as an analogy, yeah. Because even I can prove that, you know, the Hebrew Roots people, I can prove that they're wrong. They say, no. In Acts, God was using the food to show Peter that it was really aimed at the people. And I go, have you read Galatians 2? And they go, most of them that are smart know where I'm going. And they go, oh. And I go, what did Paul rebuke Peter for? Paul says, I rebuke Peter to his face because he was in the wrong. When the Jews aren't around, you live like a Gentile, which means you're eating, sitting with them, doing everything they do. As soon as the Jews showed up, Peter goes, oh, I got to be like a Jew now. And Paul says, you're in the wrong. That's not the gospel.
That's kind of the same thing that happened, I think, in Hebrews 6, wasn't it? Where they were resorting back from Christianity and going back into the old way.
Yep.
He told them, you can't go back to the old
way. Amen.
If you go back to the old way, they'll sacrifice.
Yeah.
You make Christ an unfixed.
Amen.
He's no longer alive.
The whole book of Hebrews is written to the Hebrews, and the whole point of the book of Hebrews, that's an old school truck.
I love that.
That is old school. The whole book of Hebrews, the point was calling them back to Christ. They were leaving Christ.
Yeah.
Oh, you're a truck? You a trucker?
No, I just always been a truck guy. My grandfather drove for a while. So I've always enjoyed those trucks. Yeah, no matter.
Do you live right here in LaGrange?
30 years now.
Okay.
But I'm originally from South Alabama, Sylacauga, Alabama. I don't know if you're over there.
You're from Alabama?
Yeah. Yeah, where Talladega's at, Talladega Motor Speedway and all that?
No.
Okay, that's my hometown. I was born in Sylacauga, right outside of Talladega.
What do you do here?
I've been here for, like I said, about 33 years. I've done everything from cable.
Oh.
Equipment, drove a school bus for about 15 years.
Yeah.
And I got called back in the cable again.
Oh, wow.
I tell people, if you want to make money, go in the cable business.
Yeah,
there's always
money
in the cable business. The job will never go away. If you don't ever want to have a life, go in the cable business.
Yeah. Well, man, I've enjoyed talking. I'd love for you. Hey, shoot me.
My hands are sweating now.
I don't care. Shoot me an email. Go on my website.
Yeah,
I've got
it saved on my phone.
Yeah, and you can go in and shoot me an email. I'd love to talk to you more and go in the scripture. I'd love to know people that are striving in the word and see if there's unity and we can encourage each other, because God's glorified when people meet each other and then strive to encourage them. A lot of people want to do their own thing, and I just don't believe that's really biblical. I think that God wants people to draw together and at least even long distance, sharpen iron and encourage each other to go forth, because it's a dark world and there's so few true saints.
Yeah.
So God wants us to encourage each other, and that's what my website does.
Huh? Call the intense?
Yeah. Well, Jesus said few there's going to be to find it, so few is few.
That pathway is just broad right now, and everybody's up on that path.
Yeah. It says, that word few means puny.
Mm-hmm.
It's puny. There's a puny number of people that are going to find it. Look around you in this town, and if a few people come out of this town, you'll be fortunate. Look who came out of Sodom and Gomorrah.
I'd probably say more than three-quarters of this town goes to church every Sunday.
Is what?
Probably more than three-quarters of this town goes to church every Sunday.
Yeah.
You come through here on a Sunday afternoon, you ride and you look, this town is about dead.
Yeah.
After church is over, it's wide open again.
Yeah.
And the majority of the pastor here believes that they're saved, they're living in God's will, but they're not there.
No, they're, America's full of false converts. Yeah. You look at Sodom and Gomorrah, most scholars say it had to have several, like 20, 30,000 people, because it was like a major trading port. Mm-hmm. Major trading port. How many people came out of there?
Yep.
Three. Only eight came off the ark out of all the maybe hundreds of thousands of people that lived under there. Maybe a million. Eight came off the ark.
Could totally off of that side. I know the Bible gave a lot of information on it, so we're more or less left it at that angle. futuristic, just more curiosity than anything. Do you believe in a pre-Adamite world?
The what?
The pre-Adamite world.
Pre-Adamite. Well, that's just a long discussion because everybody's got different opinions on that. But if it's not laid out in...
somebody before that, before Adam and Eve.
No, I don't believe that. No, because Scripture doesn't give us that, so I don't believe we can go by that. I really believe that God revealed to us, Genesis to Revelation, what we're supposed to know, and anything beyond that I think is dangerous. We start adding to. Mm-hmm. Deuteronomy says don't. Revelation 22 says don't, or taking away. So I don't go there. I know there's a lot of theories, and I just don't believe in that because, no, I believe that the gene pool. I was just talking, that young man was an archaeologist. He's kind of an evolutionist.
I've had a long conversation.
Yeah, we did. We were there for 2 hours.
I walked around for
2 hours, yeah. I believe that the gene pool is very shallow. The science, good science, shows that it's shallow. I believe we came from Adam and Eve, and I don't think there was anything before that. No, I don't think there was. I don't think there's any evidence in Scripture of that. No one's ever shown me that. I think it's all conjecture.
Yeah,
so I stay away from that. Jesus said we live by every word out of the mouth of God. I go by what I know is inspired Scripture.
Wait, the way I described that, all of some of these other theories that come up, is, again, based on what you said, the Bible was given for Christ.
Right.
For us to understand, know Him,
yep,
follow how to get to Him,
yep,
get saved, get away from this earth, and one day we're going to leave it. And the things that it don't speak about is because it has nothing pertaining to salvation.
Right.
That's what the Bible was given for.
Yeah, and there could be a lot of other stuff that is valid and true and all that. I mean, look at Jesus' ministry. Doesn't it say, is it in the book of John, where it says, if everything was recorded that he did, it says the world would be filled up with volume. So we are given just what we're to know. And I think all sin is rooted in pride, Satan's fall, Adam and Eve going outside of God's instructions. And I think it's prideful whenever these false teachers or anyone says, I got new truth. Or I got this new way, or I'm going to reveal something new that no one's ever been known before from God. That's pride.
Yeah.
That's Gnosticism. The word Gnosticism means new.
Yeah.
And so the Gnostics said, oh, we need new truth. This isn't good enough. That's telling God what you gave us isn't good enough. That's just not valid.
What do you do about like the Dead Sea Scrolls, all these books that they're supposed to be finding, the biblical books?
Well, from what I understand...
Let me stop right there and tell you where you know where I stand on it. So let me go and give you a front on that. We got libraries here today. I'm pretty sure, you know, you got the book of Job. I don't think it'll never make it in the Bible. But I think that's all that was. It was a library collection of everybody else's thoughts and opinions during that time.
Yeah,
yeah.
From what I understand of good scholarship, a lot of the Dead Sea Scroll just backs up the Bible.
Yeah.
Okay. And then when you talk about new books like the Book of Enoch or you talk about the Apocrypha, there's a specific set of rules on what made it in the Scriptures. The Old Testament, everybody understood what was the Old Testament. Even secular scholars don't contest what's the Old Testament. Everybody agrees what it is. The New Testament, it had to be of the right time. It had to be of the right authorship. And every book in the New Testament stands, has the right author and the right timing. The Apocrypha is written in the dead period between Malachi and Matthew, and God wasn't speaking. How in the world can we have all this revelation when God wasn't speaking? And it's got mysticism in it. It's got prayers for the dead. That's why the Catholics like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a lot of people don't realize that, but yeah, a lot of the Catholic Church stuff still keep the Apocrypha.
Yep. Yep.
So
yeah, I'm a Genesis to Revelation guy.
I've read them, but like I said, I told my wife years ago, I don't really believe at any point that they're divine because they disclaim it in many different areas.
Yeah.
I'm not into them.
Yeah, and again,
I wonder what your thought was on like all the.
Oh yeah, no. And
I thought it was just library books.
Yep, exactly. And I'm a firm believer in God gave us our charge. Go preach the gospel, make disciples, teach them to obey. And that sounds so rudimentary. Ready? I don't know but a handful of people in America that are doing that. Preaching the biblical gospel, making biblical disciples, and teaching them to obey everything Christ commanded. Most of them are just doing the non-essentials, essentials. You live your way, I live my way. We live like the culture. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says come out from the world to be a friend of the world. James 4:4 makes you an enemy of God. So you got to come out from the world. That means how you act, talk, live, dress, how you spend your money, your time, what you believe, what you do for a living. All of that has to fall under the headship of Christ. And if it doesn't, well, then it's going to fall under the headship of Satan, or it's going to become an idol. And you can't serve two masters. You love one, you'll hate the other, right? That's pretty rudimentary. So.
He also said the same thing talking about Peter when he said, can't I go up there and clean water for the same time?
Yeah.
Either the water's clean or the water's dirty.
Yeah.
So it's the fountain.
Yeah.
no in between them.
Yeah, so awesome. Well, man, I hope to hear from you.
All right, brother.
Well,
thank
you. Yeah, shoot me an email sometime. We're going to be heading out. We got some events to go get preach at, and we're headed. We go down, I was telling the young man, we go down in Florida and preach all down there, and we're not sitting on the beach eating ice cream. We go to Florida in December, January, February, because on the weekends you can't throw a stick without hitting flea markets, farmers festivals, outdoor events. It's a street preacher's dream down there.
Oh, really?
And then we head north, and then we go all over Midwest, West, East. We go all over the place. That's, like I said, that's our house. And we sold our homestead. We had a homestead in Missouri, and I can't think of anything better to do than go out and preach Christ.
Hey, yeah.
And get to meet people like you and encourage people to go deep in the scriptures and sharpen iron together.
Let's tell you about it. And like you said earlier in your little thing, I can't remember what it was called, but on your webpage, you were talking about the disciples being in the homes and how it's
Home fellowship. Yeah.
And that's how it all started beginning with.
Yeah.
That's how it's going to have to start back in again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You don't need buildings. You don't need.
There's going to be awakening eventually.
Yeah.
I just don't know when it's going
to. But in order to have that, though, in order to have that, before you can have a home fellowship, you have to have true saints.
Yeah.
That are, it's like a marriage. Before you can have a marriage, you got to have a man and a woman to want to get married. You got to have true saints that are willing to conform their life to the image of God and to His word, and to kill their pride, their vanity, their flesh, to come out of the culture, to be hated, to lose most of their friends and family.
Oh, yeah.
Many men are going to lose their wives. Many wives will lose their husbands. Many parents will lose their children. We lost our whole family. We lost everyone. I have five children. We have one child, not a Christian, because we were born again when they were long gone. But we have, what, eight grandchildren, seven grandchildren? I always forget. Seven grandchildren. I don't see them all, so I lose track, unfortunately. We only get to see three of them because the rest of them were taken away from us because of Christ, because they think that we're a cult. They think we're mean-spirited. They think we're narrow-minded. They think, you know, just because we believe sin is sin and good is good and righteousness is righteousness, that we're evil and wicked. And so,
no, you're not alone. I had three boys, and out of my three boys, two lived and one walked away.
Oh, yeah.
And one into this day won't come around very often.
No.
He does, he don't want to talk nothing about biblical.
Well,
he's a diehard Baptist.
Yeah, the Bible says, rejoice when you're persecuted or when people persecute you. He said, rejoice, your reward in heaven is great, because that means you're on the path to being set apart to be sanctified by Him, right?
That's right.
Yeah, it does. All right,
brother, man. I appreciate y'all.
All right, hope to hear from you.